You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order? Ah, I see. The special it is. We'll be there to deliver ASAP. Cosmic Pizza Podcast special delivery.
Okay, who's going to lead this one then? Should it be me or Dan?
I think it's Dan's turn. I think I did last one.
You've done the last two, actually, Sean.
Have I?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, well, shit. Good for me.
Right, I need to find the intro then.
Yeah, just wing it. That's what I do.
Just wing it, yeah.
If you don't know by now, we've been doing it for 2 years.
Yeah, I know. I still haven't memorized it. I hear it every single time that we listen to the... Oh, never mind. All right. No, it's gone blank.
Hello and welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Yes. Hello and welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. We're having a summer holiday here, but before we do that, I am Dan from the UK, and with me today, as always, is...
Paul from the UK.
And Sean, not from the UK, but Canada.
And this week, we're going to offer you a delicious slice of life, maybe an ice cream or two, maybe just, you know, sit back on a beach with a little recliner, maybe your favourite book, and not, just...
Knotted hanky.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. My brain hurts. shoot the breeze. Enjoy the summer. Talk about our plans. Talk about memories from the summer. Maybe some favorite songs that remind us of summer as well. Or anything else that sort of crops up, if I can speak properly today.
Well, there you go. You see, I mean, you mentioned summer. You mentioned breeze. Summer breeze.
That's it. Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
There's the first song right there.
It's almost like I can hear your edits just coming from in the future. It's amazing. So, plans for the summer. If we start with Paul.
Well, my plans for the summer start in a few days. A few days' time, yes, I suppose it would be. We have got to that time in life where we're very fortunate and we've finished paying off our mortgage and we've got a bit of spare cash lying around. So we decided to try... first of all, the beginning of the year, we tried to go to Madeira, a nice little island off Portugal, from memory. And it didn't work out. The holiday was cancelled, the flight got cancelled, so we couldn't get over there. We were supposed to be meeting my sister and my dad over there, and that didn't work out. So with that money, we got the money back. We got a full refund, we were fortunate. They cancelled it rather than us cancelling it, so we got some money back. And then we had an hour and a think about it. We put some more money towards it and said, right, let's tell you what. Our parents are always going on cruises. You know, they always tell us how good a cruise is. So why don't we let's try a cruise. I am sailing home again. Across the sea, I am sailing. Stormy waters to be near you, to be free. I am fine. It's something we've never done before. Let's do it before we retire and we can't afford to do anything. So so that's what we're doing. In a few weeks' time, hopefully, we're flying off to the south of Spain. And in the hottest time of the year, because my wife wants to go to a warm place, careful what you wish for, 30 degrees of heat in the Celsius, obviously, which is lots of money in Fahrenheit. So we're going there and we're going on a cruise, 7-day cruise, And we're going around the south of Spain. We start in Mallorca, we go through to Seville, which is not in the right order, Malaga, Marbella, Cadiz, and Cartagena, which is two places I'm really wanting to see because there's a lot of history there, going right back to the Romans. The Roman cities were built back in the day. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. It's our first time on a cruise, hopefully. I say that because we're actually going to be flying from Manchester Airport, which has had so many problems recently with understaffed and lots of people booking flights. It's been clogged up. There's been like hours and hours and hours of delays. Planes being cancelled at the last minute. But hopefully that's because of the rush and the half term, you know, the little kids off school. We're going, the flight is 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's like we'll be getting there about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, ready for, you know, getting through the airport. So hopefully it won't be too bad. It looks as though they've cancelled the flight back, but have cancelled a number of flights back, but amalgamated them into one flight. So they put a bigger plane on.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that's what's happened. Because our plane changed from when we originally booked it, but it's a bigger one now, so I'm hoping that's what they've done.
It sounds lovely.
Mm. Oh, yeah, really looking forward to it.
And even with the Manchester problems and stuff, I'm sure your vacation will go off without a hitch.
It'd definitely be without a hitch, because there's just me and my wife going, and my dad, not with that hitch over there.
So. I won't be there.
But that's, I see what you did there.
You saw what I did there, do you? Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, I'll be interrupting with like messenger messages all the way through. Just like, I'm here, I'm here, I'm yes. here. Me yeah, photoshopped like... in.
Yeah, yeah. Watch out for our messenger feed. There's gonna be lots of pictures. Wish you were here.
But yeah, I'm sure they'll be rubbing off on the plane, and if not, you'll be hanging off the wing as it comes off, and that'll be it.
When you say you've got a window seat, it doesn't say whether that's inside or outside.
Yeah, yeah.
On the outside looking in. Hello.
Whenever someone says window seat, it's just like window seat or aisle. Window seat or aisle? Are you trying to pick a fight? I don't know why. It's a really stupid joke, but I just got like it. Never mind. Anyway, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Cool. Okay. Sean, have you got any plans for the summer?
I'm not going on any special vacations like that. Every time I try to go on an international flight, it falls apart. But I've only been back here, well, as of recording, 2.5 months. So don't have any summer holidays. I used them all up in April to get settled here and whatever. But I am going to do some weekend exploration, like maybe camping trips, going to, now that I'm here in Sault Ste. Marie, it's a border town, so I can just head over to the States, and I've got plans to explore some cities that I've never been to down in Michigan, mostly like Traverse City and what's the other one, I can't remember right now, but there's a few different cities that I'd like to go to because they have outlet stores and a lot of thrift stores and that kind of stuff, and everybody goes, and because I've been away for over 20 years, I've never got to do that, so that's my plan.
Cool. So when you say popping down to like Michigan,
yeah,
that's a how long a journey for you?
Well, it's I think where my house is right now, we're 10 minutes from the border.
Oh, wow. Blimey.
Yeah. Like I just have to go that way. And there's the bridge. You go across the bridge and you're in the States. And
so you'll actually have the weekend to enjoy it then. So you won't lose to travel time and all that kind of stuff.
Because it's literally right there. Like if I'm if I'm on our waterfront, which is like a 5 minute drive from here, I can see the bridge. I can see across into the States. Like crazy. We're just separated by the St. Mary's River, and you could almost wave to the Americans across if you had binoculars.
So are there any border controls there, or is it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's a huge on either side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like you've got the toll bridge, you've got the customs guys and girls, and they're asking you, "What are you doing? How long are you planning on staying? Let me see your passport. You know, all that kind of stuff." Oh yeah, big time. And then you do that, you do the toll, whatever that costs to get your car across. And then I think it's 2.5-3 hours to Traverse City. And I think we're 5 hours from Detroit. And, so it's easy enough to do.
Nice.
Spend a day or spend a weekend. Yeah.
Actually, I would, whenever you say you're going to go somewhere, I always picture you've got like a 6-hour drive to go somewhere. You've got like, you know, a hike, and then you've got to go even further. So you've lost, you know, half the first day just traveling.
Well, but it's true. When I lived up in Timmins, it was almost 6 hours to get here to the Sioux. So that was your whole day just driving to get here to the border.
Eesh.
And then you don't have a weekend left. So no. So now that's 6 hours that I don't have to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're only dipping your toe into America, of course, if you do that. I mean, it's, you know, there's a few hours drive to Detroit or Pittsburgh further down, Indianapolis, if you wanted to go that far. But that's hours and hours and hours of driving, isn't it, to get down there.
So,
It's crazy. And you've got, you know, a couple of hours on your flight to get down to the cruise. And it's just, I was just thinking, like, how much traveling are you two going to be doing? But you've got a relative hop, skip and a jump. It's quite...
We've got a 4-hour flight we've got to wait for 3 hours to get on the plane, then we've got to fly, and then we arrive, and then we get in the port at about 10 o'clock, maybe somewhere on there. But you know, the boat leaves at 10 o'clock in the evening, so we've got 12 hours then to either get on the boat and then just hang around and wait for the boat to leave. So it's a bit of a dead day, really. Or we sit in the port, have something to eat, and then, you know, get on the boat and
come back. Explore the town. See what's there.
Explore the boat.
Yeah.
Boat's big enough.
How does that work, actually? Because I've not been to the continent since we obviously separated in the whole business, the big B word. How do they see that? If you're flying into foreign soil, but maybe you're getting transferred to a British company ship, do they count you through the same way? Have you got extra checkpoints to go through because of everything?
I think there's a checkpoint, obviously, at the airport. But then I think there is another checkpoint at the port, because you have to check your luggage onto the boat. So I think, yes, there is. I mean, this is the first time for us, so we don't really know. But I think that's the case, yes. Because we do have stuff that we have to show again at the port. Right. So, because officially then we're sort of leaving mainland Spain. Well, actually, not mainland Spain. We're off Spain, but then we're going to mainland Spain. And then we go to Gibraltar, which is a bit weird. So, that's sort of hopping around the places. But, yeah, it's all sorted out by the cruise people. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, relatively easy, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Dan, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's all we want to know.
I will be mostly working. Yeah. Unfortunately, the summer holidays will hit, and then obviously the kids go off. For the first 4 weeks of the summer holiday, I will be doing as much overtime as I possibly can in order to pay off for the last 2 weeks of the summer holiday, where we are going to be going to Florida. Ooh. And as I've probably said before in many countless episodes before, my wife is a big Disney-phile, big Disney-nerd, and we've organized a huge trip, not just the five of us, but also all of the in-laws and all that side of the family, all going together, staying in a villa, and then we will do the Disney parks, the Universal parks, and NASA. We play fair and we work hard and we're in harmony. MICKEY MOUSE, Mickey Mouse,
Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse. Forever let us hold our banner high, 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 high. Boys and girls from far and near, you're welcome as can be.
And just do Florida, just do one big blowout holiday for 2 weeks. And in order to pay for that, I have to do the extra overtime. So it's just going to be constant.
Yeah. When is this trip?
This is the last 2 weeks. It's some holiday.
Can I come with you?
I'll be in the same time zone. You just come straight down, don't you?
I can do that. Works out.
Yeah, there we go. Sure. Yeah, there we go. I'll catch you, and we'll grab some cocktails in Disney, downtown Disney.
Since you're there, you're going to finally be able to meet Jarman.
If he's around. I mean, he's going to be a busy man now. We've got some special.
Yes, a big shout out to him. Congratulations on your engagement, Jarman. Congratulations and celebrations.
Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be.
if your podcasting buddies are not invited to the wedding, we'll be sorely disappointed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you can manage it so that it's a time when I can come over, and then I'll take another flight up to see Sean, and then I can do that as a, like a, you know,
you don't need to take a flight up to see me. I'm going to go to Florida for the wedding, too.
We'll meet in Florida. That's
yeah.
The weather will be better anyway. Yeah.
It'll be great.
And I'm pretty sure the flights are cheaper from Michigan back to the UK. So if we go up to Michigan, you can just hop home.
Detroit.
And then we'll just get the... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, the only problem is, of course, you know what he's going to do. He'll go to Cancun or somewhere like that to get married, or Vegas or something. Or either that, or we'll all turn up at his. Now he's like, "Oh no, we're getting married in London." Did we not mention that?
Where's the party at? Oh, over Zoom, and we're just looking back on England. It's like, oh, look, at least it's grey clouds in the background. It's fine. But no, yes, big congratulations to Jarman, because he's got all that planning to do, so he's going to be a very busy man.
It's so nice that something's finally worked out for them. It's
fantastic. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I would say they look good together when you see them. I mean, we've not met the girl, but she, from what I've seen on Facebook, and they always look happy together. And,
they do.
But the thing that made me laugh is that the amount of times I've seen her on Facebook, it's always been selfies, or there's a picture of her or a picture of him, another selfie. What I didn't realise is just how much he was crouching down at the time. I thought she was the same height as him, or at least something similar, until you see a long shot of them, and he's on his knee proposing to her, and she's only just a little bit taller than him then. So she's the same height as me! Woo-hoo!
There you go.
That was funny.
Yeah, he won't be towering over the bride. At least that's something.
Yes.
Hey, you know what now is a good time for?
Summertime? In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
It's time for summertime, and here's an awesome promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
Comic-Cons are back, and fans are ready. Hear all about it on The Con Guy Show, where we keep you up to date on all the events, the movies, the people, and the conventions that drive your passions and feed your fandom. Straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California, we are proud members of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Well, that was a fantastic promo right there, wasn't it? That was...
So what else we got planned for this summer, boys?
Yeah.
Is anybody going yard sailing? Summertime is great for yard sales.
No.
No, it's not really a thing.
Not a thing over there?
No. I mean, maybe car boots or flea markets, as that's what you call them, but there's not so much over here for that. Well, certainly not up this end, anyway.
It's sort of more music festival time over here, because that's the time where there's least amount of mud in all the fields. And then you kind of get the car boot sales maybe the springtime and the autumn time, because it's starting to turn. People are finally getting rid of all the stuff that they bought over the summer they don't want anymore, and then or making room for it, and then sort of moving it on to other people. But over here it's more the music festivals. You've got your Glastonbury's, you've got your Reddings, you've got wherever else you're going to end up going as well. But yeah, so you're going yard sailing?
Oh yeah, we've already started. It's already been for about a month so far. Every weekend, like there might be 20, 30, 40 yard sales around town, at churches, other things, just people's houses. They set up some tables and they sell their junk, or they try to sell their junk. Some stuff should be thrown to the trash before they put it out. But and then sometimes like little cul-de-sacs and little mini neighborhoods will have like a huge multifamily yard sale, so you just walk up and down the street, and everything's there, and you bring your little bag and off you go. And
so it's usually a community of a street, so that sometimes street will organize it.
Not always, but sometimes the homeowners will get together and they'll say, hey, I'm having a yard sale this weekend, you want to do that? And like 3 or 4 or 5 people will do that on the same street.
Cool.
Yeah,
see for us it's car boots, where you have to load up the car, you have to drive it to a designated field. And then out the back of the boot of the car, you will set up a table and then sort of do it all there. And it's pre-selected that there will be a field booked by some organization. and they will then let you in, and you pay sort of £10 for a pitch, and then that's it. You've got to try and make your money back and then a profit after that.
I see. No, not here. You can just advertise it on what they call Sue Today or on Facebook groups and stuff, and or just put posters up on light poles, and people drive around on Saturday morning, sometimes Sunday morning, and just go from sale to sale to sale and see if there's anything good. And if there is, you buy it. And if there's not, well, then you don't, I guess. But
so what's your best memory of a purchase from one of those?
Last summer I was doing some yard sailing, and I almost didn't stop at this one, but I was like, well, I guess I'll stop. And what I found was a Saurian brandy replica bottle from the Star Trek original series for $1.
Oh, I'd buy that for $1.
And I did. And then I put it on my Etsy shop and sold it for $90.
Oh, nice. Oh,
nice. Yeah.
That was a score.
Very nice.
Yeah. And even if I don't find anything, I don't care. It's just like a little excursion. Mm. You gather up your buddies and off you go.
So memories of previous summers. What do we remember from summers gone by? I mean, my memories, I just shared a photograph with the two boys here of me playing football against my dad's wall in the backyard, kicking a ball against there and setting up a goalpost and, you know, pretending I was the England captain or the our local football team's captain. Or I was at the time it was West Ham United, was always my favourite team. I have no idea why. I think I just liked the colour of the kit. Trevor Brooking being the captain there, and also the England captain at the time, big number 10 on the back of the kit. It was great, loved it. And at the same time, a couple of days later, Wimbledon tennis would come on, and so out with the tennis rackets and be battering a ball against the back wall there. And then the golf would be on, so out with a couple of small plastic golf clubs and a couple of plastic balls, and we'd chip that up and down the garden. Suddenly I was Tony Jacklin from the early 70s. Those were the days. And the summers then just seemed to go on for months and months and months. There was the heat, everything. I mean, I was 11 years old in 1976, so we had the heat wave in 1976, which was incredible over here. There was a drought. We had no water in the reservoirs, so people were limited to how much water they could use. They were encouraged to shower or share a bath. There were standpipes in the middle of the roads. You could go up there and turn the water on, get a bucket of water and take it home, because there was just no water about. And there was, at the same time, for some reason, there was a huge infestation of ladybirds, which are like little ladybugs. And there was millions of them all over the place. All over nighttime, if you looked up at the street lamp, it was just surrounded by all these ladybirds. It was just ridiculous. People walking along the streets, batting them off. It was like something out of a Stephen King novel. The really strange thing is, and like I say, when we used to break for school, we'd have the 6 weeks break at school through the summer. I can never remember it raining, and yet the statistics say that in the summertime in Britain, it will rain one out of every 4 days. So it's not a dry period at all, really. You might get long stretches of it, but then it'll make up for it, for a few weeks worth of rain. Your best times are in summer and autumn, spring and autumn, when either side of summer, really. But that's what I remember from going out on my bike and riding around our local estate. Oh, yeah. It was me and a few friends would we'd be just like Stranger Things, running around on your bikes. You were either riding motorbikes or putting a plastic piece of plastic in the back wheel and the spokes, So we made that noise. Sounded like a motorbike or something. Really good. Evil Knievel was a big thing in those days as well. So we'd set up, you'd get a couple of bricks and a bit of wood, and you'd be making ramps to ride over, and, you know, trying to do all these tricks and things. And lots of times we fell off our bikes and, you know, scraped our knees and elbows and all that. It was just, those were the days. Those were the days.
Injuries.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you build forts in the bush, or do you have bush there?
Sort of, yeah. We would we'd go into our local wooded area, in the local woods, Bluebell Woods, and there was rope swings, and there was a bush that would be covered in more bush, you know, because somebody had obviously made a little den inside. You could go inside and do whatever you were doing, drinking beer or smoking or whatever it was these 10-year-olds used to do at the time. So
finding the stash of dirty magazines.
Oh yeah. We never found a stash of one, but certainly pages of ripped up pages of them or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a common theme across the world.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It was great. So I mean, because where we live, there is one very big wooded area, which spans a couple of towns. So you can go in from either end of it and walk for a couple of miles at least, and then there are smaller little, I don't know what you would call them, really, small wooded areas, which are only maybe about 500-600 feet long, 200-300 feet wide, maybe a little copse, I suppose you'd call it. But you know, it would have deep enough valleys, 20-30 foot valleys in them, with a river down the bottom or whatever, a bit of standing water, and there was two or three of them dotted around, which you could always go down in and just play in and just get your exercise for the day. But the biggest thing I did was ride around on my bike, pretended to be a motorbike Grand Prix motorbike star or whatever it was at the time, Barry Sheen or whoever it was, riding around the roads.
A similar thing for you then, Sean?
Yeah, a lot of bike riding, a lot of camping with the grandparents. Every summer we'd go about an hour away and go camping. My grandfather used to ride a motorcycle, so I got a lot of motorcycle rides. And then when I got a little bit older, we lived in an apartment complex, and I would set up my little table, and all summer long I would sell things to the neighborhood kids just to make a little bit of extra money.
What kind of things?
Sometimes it was toys. Sometimes I would make things out of popsicle sticks and beer bottle caps and just whatever. I can't even remember anymore, but and they would just come to the table and buy the stuff.
You're still doing that now?
Kinda, yeah. I've always been a little scammer, a little salesman. So yeah, that's always been a thing.
Yeah, Sean's independent traders.
There you go. That's exactly right. Yeah. But the best part of summer now, Sunday morning, coffee on the deck.
Mm.
You know, there's a bit of a cool breeze, and the birds are chirping, and there's nobody around. You have your coffee, you're just sitting there and watching the squirrels and the birds play. And maybe it's because I'm older now, I don't know, but it's so peaceful and relaxing.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky in that respect. We got back garden, there's gardens, it's not that big, but there's a patio and a bit of grass, and we can sit on the patio with a couple of chairs and hot drinks, and there's no children around. There's we're in an area where we're in that in-between part where none of the younger people who've moved in have got kids yet, or they're not old enough to be out in the back garden running around making noise. Our neighbors are either elderly or the kids have grown up. So it's quite quiet. Perfect. So yeah, you can sit there and you can watch the birds. We got a small plum tree in the back garden, and from there we hang bird feeders, so the birds can come on and feed away merrily on the peanuts and seeds and things. So that's quite nice to watch them. So you get quite a wide variety of birds popping up now and again. But really, we don't really get the time to do that. It's trying to find the time just to sit down and do nothing. We're always busy. But Sunday mornings, my wife goes to church, so that's the morning out. And then in the afternoons or evenings we'll have parents around, so we can have a family meal together, and generally when it's warmer we will sit outside and do that. But in fact this coming weekend, I believe it's the same in Canada, it's Father's Day. So we're having because obviously my kids are supposedly doing this for me as well, but we're doing an afternoon tea, so we'll have some sandwiches made up, some cream cakes, and tea, coffee, and maybe a bit of bubbly as well. You know, so sit outside. Hopefully the weather will be okay. I haven't really looked. I haven't really checked. But it should be warm and dry, hopefully. He says, checking the weather app.
After Dan tells us about what he remembers from childhood, I've got a funny story about Father's Day for you.
Uh-huh. Oh, let's go into Father's Day. Actually, Father's Day is coming up. It's a double whammy for me because it's not only Father's Day, it is my grandfather-in-law's birthday. It's also my birthday as well.
So
it's a triple threat for every weekend. So every Father's Day summer is that's the start of summer. It's normally the time that I start using this thing, which I'm going to show the boys as well. Unfortunately, the dreaded asthma and hay fever start coming in. So from about the middle of June till about mid-July, I can't breathe. So that's the best thing. So summertime has got like a mixed message for me. So the beginning of summer is the worst. I absolutely hate it. Cannot for the life of me stand it. I've got to put all this, you know, greasy cream on and all this kind of stuff. And then have, you know, my eyes streaming and my nose is streaming, can barely breathe. So if I start wheezing halfway through the podcast, you'll know what's going on, everybody. But, you know, I hate the beginning of summer. By the time summer ends, it's then sort of relaxed in and it's all gone and the pollen's all been killed off and I can finally just enjoy the summer holidays. Father's Day story. Sean, go for it.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, I asked my dad, hey, would you like to go and have brunch somewhere for Father's Day? And he's like, sure, I'd love to. I'm like, okay, well, I'll set it up for this weekend and we'll go. And I called the restaurant 11 o'clock this coming Sunday for reservations for brunch. Okay, perfect. So my brother gets home and I tell him, okay, this weekend we're going to do Father's Day and blah, 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 brunch at 11 o'clock. And he's like, you know, Father's Day is not this weekend. It's next weekend. I'm like, no, I had no idea. So anyway, we go this past Sunday that just passed. We get to the restaurant for 11 o'clock. Doors are locked. Dad says, call, see when they're open or why they're not open. That's what I do. And they say, oh, they're open at noon. Oh, great. Okay. So then maybe the lady I talked to on the phone last week got the time wrong. Okay, that's no problem. So we go to Tim Hortons, which is the local coffee shop, and waste an hour just to have a coffee. And it's now noon. So we go back to the restaurant. We sit down. We say, we're here for our brunch. Where's the buffet menu? And she's like, oh, no, we don't do that anymore because of COVID. We only do that for, we did that for Easter and for Mother's Day. And my dad says, oh, what, fathers don't rate? Oh, no, she says, we're going to do a brunch, a buffet thing next Sunday at 11 o'clock. I'm like, okay. So when I called the lady, we just got the times mixed up and the week wrong and whatever. So we didn't want to have the regular menu there. So we went to another Tim Hortons and had food there instead. So everything was totally wrong. All the miscommunications. It was quite the adventure. And my dad was a good sport about it. So that was not bad. I was expecting him to get all pissed off, but no, it was okay.
Nothing wrong with Tim Hortons. We've finally got our first local Tim Hortons over here. So it's about 12 miles away. So it's a bit of a drive. When I did my 10K run, it was just down the road. I parked my car, you know, just down the road from the Tim Hortons. So on the way back, I grabbed a load of donuts and had that for our dinner. So very nice.
There you go. Nice. Perfect.
You can't beat it. I mean, the two times I've been to Canada, the last two times I've been to Canada, we were both picked up from the airport by my uncle, who then drove us back to his house. But you know, halfway there, he says, oh, let's get a coffee and a donut. So we pop into the local Tim Hortons to get a coffee and a donut. It's bloody midnight. We've just got off the plane, 24 hours awake.
Yep.
And he says, let's go and have a coffee. And I think that's just what we need. A donut and a coffee at midnight.
You know what? That's the funny thing. Everybody here in the Sioux, since I've been back, all they do is drink coffee all times of the day you stop at one or two in the afternoon because then you won't sleep. Oh, no, we just drink extra larges all day, like three or four at a time. I'm like, wow, this is not how we do things back in Timmins.
you're going, hey, man, like, slow down, man. Everybody's going, come on. Father's Day, let's get to Tim Hortons quick.
That's right.
Everyone in the Sioux is like the Flash. They're just straight up.
Whoa,
what's going on? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
You're in the big smoke now, kid. Get moving.
That's right.
You're not. Hey, wrong. Man.
Then like, flash cut. Yeah, flash cut to Timmons, and everyone's like, "Everything's okay, man. It's all right."
That's more accurate than you'd know.
Yeah, pass me another decaf, man.
That's it.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
That musical interlude, so you don't have to edit it in later. You just do this. Is the nice, easy summer way of doing it. My memories from the summertime. Yeah, for me, it's not necessarily camping, but it in terms of tents, but it is camping in caravans. And over here, you tend to have a caravan park, again, a set place where everyone goes to and does that. Unfortunately, Dad was. Security guard, and we were at the very low echelons of income, so we really didn't have the money to pay for a proper, you know, caravan park. So there was a farm, a Sunnydale farm down at Folkestone, which is sadly no longer there, as the farm lady has passed away. But back then she used to have like a side gig, so she couldn't afford to keep all of her animals going, the cows and everything like that. So she would hire out one of her fields, keep it fallow, and just, you know, have people who could really afford the real places to go to come and park and camp out. And Sunnydale Farm was where I spent pretty much every summer holiday in our family's caravan, which was permanently placed there. We never kept it at home. We didn't drive it to the site. We just left it there, and then we did it up, and it became our caravan. And we just always went down to Kathy, the farm lady, and she would just let us in every summer. And we would, you know, feed the cows, we would feed the sheep. She would be followed around by Little Lamb, as she used to call it, who was a lamb who had hung out with the sheepdog far too long. They actually thought it was a dog and followed her around like a dog. And it had the dog collar and everything, and it would only hang out with the other dog. And you know, we would treat it like a dog. It would pet it, and it would just sort of come in, and it would feed at the same time as the dog and not the other sheep. And it lived in the house with her. And Sunnydale Farm is always what I always think about, trying to get from the top of the field all the way down. I had to empty out the cesspit toilet block into the god-awful bog of eternal stench at the bottom of the field, and then bake it back to the farmhouse to fill up our big water butt, and then drag it all the way back up the field. And that is just, that's my memory. And Dad got to deliver a cow. We got to get chicks birthed. You know, we actually had them in the little incubator, and we got to, you know, name them and everything like that. My sister and I would always be doing this. There was our favorite tree, and at the time we were reading Enid Blyton, and it was the Faraway Tree. So that was the Faraway Tree, and we would always pretend that we were going to a different magical place every time we went there. And just down the road there was an old World War II pillbox, so, you know, we would sort of reenact there again. You'd sort of have your fort and all that kind of stuff. And it was just, it's an idyllic, if you had like that typical British, you know, living on a farmyard sort of holiday thing, I had that. That was how I grew up. And you got used to having animals around. Pain in the ass during the hay fever season, but, you know, it's fine.
No, you're saying about hay fever. I do suffer from hay fever as well. But fortunately, over the last 15 years or so, because I've been working indoors a lot and working nights, I seem to have sort of grown out of it, but more recently it's been getting a little bit worse. So this year I've been taking tablets for it, but otherwise I just want to take my eyeballs out and rub it with sandpaper. Mm-hmm. It's really, really terrible. And the roof of the mouth, you know, the tear ducts, because the tear ducts go down
past the mouth. Itchy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, madness. And the inhaler I used to use, but then I actually stopped using it because it was going out of date before I'd actually finish it. So it sort of got rid of that. And I think the running helped with that as well. Obviously the running helps the breathing. But you're saying about farms. Yeah, I mean, that's most of our early years. We're spent going to farms in North Wales, especially because that's obviously near to us. So we can just drive for, you know, an hour or an hour and a half and you'd be into North Wales. Beautiful area, lots of mountains, beaches, rivers, trees, woods, you know, and farms all over the place. And they would, you know, rent out their properties for, you know, or a little cottage for a week, so people could go there, and you could go and play in the barns, and you play with the horses and all this type of thing. And that's where I first found out I had hay fever, is we were hiding in amongst the hay bales. We'd actually made a little den out of, well, there was a, we found a hole that we could get into, and then, you know, in the hay bales there was this, there was an open bit in the middle, and I think it was made so that the farmer's children could play in there. But we got in there and we were playing away there, and we were having a great time, and I just could not stop sneezing, and then I was rubbing my eyes, and in the end they had to drag me out, and so they took me back to my parents, and they said, oh my goodness, yeah, it looks like he's got hay fever. So I always assumed hay and hay fever were the same thing, but of course no, it's not. It's stupid plants and rubbish flowers and things. Oh god, that's why we need them,
bloody nature.
So yeah, so I had the same problem. So there's a lot of the summertime for me was the same as you, Dan, just wheezing and sneezing. And I was rubbing my eye, and I said, I can't see anything on my eye. It's just blurred all the time. It's just horrible. And then somebody looked at me and said, my God, you've got a blister on your eyeball. And you know, just around the iris, there was this blister. And I've done it twice, doing the same thing by scratching the eye so much, you know, around the eye, but actually then rubbing the eye. It's turned into a blister, which you just leave it alone and it settles back down again. But when you realize that's what you've been doing, you go, oh, maybe I should stop doing that then. But yeah, no, the last few days it's been quite bad as well. I've been taking tablets to try and stop the eyes from getting itchy.
It never seems to work completely. It'll be good for most of the day, and then just before bedtime, straight down your face.
And the other thing is, it used to sap my energy. You used to just sit there going, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. And you just feel absolutely rotten. Yes. And and then so you just sit in the house all day. You know, and most of the summer days, beautiful hot summer days, people go, get outside and play outside. No,
see,
I can't.
I didn't mind that too much. So once I started suffering from it, when we went down to the farm, I wasn't going out into the field as much. Mm-hmm. And that was just at the right time when the Game Boy came out, the very first Game Boy. And we had the two-player connection cable. And my sister had one and I had one. So we connected it up and we were able to play the Mario Tetris game as a two-player game. And that just blew our minds. We've never done that before. You know, two players at that point was two controllers on the same system on the same TV. Here we are with two separate screens. We were like living in the future. So that's when I really discovered gaming as a way of getting away from the hay fever for the first couple of weeks of summer. So as soon as school finished and that was all done, that's it. The SNES goes on, the NES goes on, you know, the PlayStation went on. You know, it was my defense mechanism against hay fever was to just stay and play those games for that first week. And then it was gone after that. And then I could go back outside again. And it was absolutely fine.
Yeah, we weren't that lucky. It was, we didn't have computer games in our day. So it was just play outside or play inside. So you'd have to, that's where Lego was a great thing. I mean,
a stick and a hoop, is it down there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You've got to dodge the penny farthings as well.
That's it. Of course. Absolutely.
There were road rage with them things. Yeah, it's terrible. I say, young man, get out of the way. I'll beat you over the head with my top hat or cane.
I'm going to go sweep a chimney now.
Yeah. There's a Dick Van Dyke up there.
He knows how to have a good time. Bloody singing all the time.
That's where you play with your Lego inside the house and build model kits or whatever. That's all.
I used to do that, lots of model kits. But Uncle Dan, tell us more about the Bog of Eternal Stench.
No, it was the dark days. I hated that, the chemical toilet, and then having to take the block out and then roll it down the hill and then just tip it in. I'm having like flashbacks now. I can feel it. I can smell it in my nose.
You can taste
and that's
it.
Blocked. It's horrible. It was just not nice. And that whole thing. And you think they'd be awful because you've got the cows in one field next to you, so you've got the pats and that smells wafting in your face. Then you've got the sheep in the field right with the caravans. And then you've got that down the end, and just, and that's happy times. How is that happy? I don't understand. I look back on that fondly. I don't know how that works. It's just shit everywhere.
So what were your holidays like, Dan? Shit. No, what was he like? No, shit.
Everywhere.
There's all the time. There it is over there. Absolutely. But no, there was the Folkestone fairground that was down on the coastal part of Folkestone. And that's where we spent sort of our days out. So if we weren't on the farm, we weren't doing anything for Kathy, we then went down and spent it on this horrific fairground as well. Again, I don't know why I look back on it fondly. I mean, these rides were, you know, breaking down, sparking, there's bits of metal jutting off here and there. You know, kids were screaming, but not necessarily because they were enjoying the ride. It was just, you know, horrific torture den that if I went back as a parent now and I would put my kids on there, I think, well, I'm going to lose that one. At least I've got two spares. I don't know why parents found it was okay to put their kids on that back in the day. But that's another memory actually as well. It's my first VHS collection for Star Trek. I bought my first VHSs for myself from a little market stall in Folkestone, and I couldn't actually watch it because there was no VHS player in the caravan. So I was looking at these pictures like, what the hell is that? I have no idea. What on earth is that? And then finally get home and watch it for the first time as well. So summertime sort of breeds Star Trek as well.
There you go. Perfect.
That was something we did. We went down to Cambridge where my uncle lived, and my cousin still lived down there. We went down there last year, and we had a great time down there. Sadly, for my uncle's memorial, but we still had a good time before and after it. And I remember going into the market there and buying my first ever CD, which was Slippery When Wet by Bon Jovi. I didn't have a CD player. It was 3 days before my birthday. And I knew I was getting a CD player for my birthday because, you know, that's sort of a big music center, you know, which, you know, back in the day, that's what you got in the 80s, you know, the big music center with the big speakers and the record player on the top and twin deck recording for tapes,
nice,
and radio and all that type of thing in it. And we were in the market and I said, oh, I better buy a CD then. So, oh, that looks good. Oh, yeah, Bon Jovi, I like them. Bought that. Yeah, read all the back, read all the front. Looked at it. I thought, oh, pretty colors. But yeah, I had to wait 2 or 3 days before I could actually play it. That was my first ever CD.
So what about media for you, Sean? What media do you remember from the summertime? Is there anything specific, like an album or something?
I don't think so. Not really. No. Not that I can recall offhand. No.
For me, it's Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was summer 1999. Red Hot Chili Peppers' Californication album comes out.
Oh, yes.
And then you've got Blink-182, Enema of the State. And two brilliant albums. And I listened to them back to back over and over and over again.
Is that the one with Adam's song and Everyone Hates You When You're 23?
Yeah. What's okay. My age again? Yeah.
Yes. That I worked at Tim Hortons the summer after I graduated university. And that song was always on the radio. And I was in the back doing the shit work. And yeah, and I was 23. And I was like, this job sucks. Everybody does hate me because I'm 23. And it was always on the radio. And I was like, yeah, that's friggin' appropriate.
Just blame Blink-182.
That's right. But then Mambo Number 5 would come on.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need.
And I wanted a little bit of Monica and a little bit of Sandra and Rita. And I'd be filling the donut cream and I'd be little dancing. And then
I don't want to know how you were filling the donut cream. Please don't tell us how you were filling
big buckets, big industrial buckets of donut filling stuff. Nothing that I was doing back there. Yes. Don't worry about it.
He had women on the mind. Let's just say
that's right. That was not the summer of 69 because that was back in 97. So, you know. the memories.
I was 33 then, for goodness sake. Far too old for summers of whatever year it would have been.
You're never too old for the summer of 69, Paul.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for it. That's the problem.
Let me ring up Linda and get her on that for you.
Yes. Yeah, so my summer, I'm trying to think, because basically when I got to the, you know, the really hot summers, 91 was a hot summer. And the reason I remember that is because we were watching the Formula One. We went down to Silverstone and watched the Formula One Grand Prix. And it was sponsored by Foster's, beer, lager, and Australian lager. And it was they were giving out free samples of it when we as they were walking around. So we were, oh God, we're dying of thirst. Yes, please, we'll have that. Oh my God, this is so nice. We just like OD'd on Foster's lager for the whole weekend. You know. Nigel Mansell win the race. Woo-hoo! Good, they were good times. We used to do that every summer from 1985. Yeah, 85. I wanted to do 84, but I couldn't. So 85, we went to Silverstone. 86, we went down to Dan's neck of the woods, Brands Hatch. Mm-hmm. And then 87, 88, from then onwards, it was Silverstone. And we did that until 91. I think I'm trying to remember whether I did 92 or not. I don't know whether I did, but certainly did 91. And then it got too expensive then. So Bernie Eccleston decided, oh, let's make lots of money on this. So we start charging you for coming in. But those are the days. The first day we did it, they used to practice on a Thursday, qualify on a Friday and race on a Saturday. Then they changed it to Sundays. So they race on the Sunday. So you'd have practice on the Thursday, practice on the Friday, qualifying on the Saturday, and the race on the Sunday. So we used to get down there on a Wednesday and set up a tent, and it'd be me and them, my friend Paul, who we've mentioned before on the podcast. And so we get down there on the Wednesday afternoon, 4-hour drive, and then we just said, well, let's go and have a walk around the, you know, and see if we can have a look at the outside of the track. So we walked around, got to the main entrance. And the guys, we said, there was a security guard there, and there was people walking in. And we said, can we get in? And the security guard said, well, yeah, have you got any tickets for, you know, for tomorrow? And we went, yeah. He said, well, show us your tickets and you can get in. So we ran back to our tent, got the tickets, come back again. Said, yeah, off you go. So we just walked in. And you could walk right onto the track. We stood on the podium, which was like just a small little podium in them days. It wasn't a huge thing. We stood on the podium, took some photographs. We sat on the grid and took photographs of us sat on the grid as though we were in the cars, you know, just sat on a bit of tarmac. We went into the pits and they were unloading all the boxes and getting all the cars out ready and firing things up. We walked right up to the Tyrrell, which was sat there. And I was stood next to the thing as the guy was spraying the stuff into the engine, then bam, fires this thing up and it's revving it up right in front of me. We then walked up to the Williams pit, and of course now we're getting into the big boys, so they had a little bit of a barrier around it, so you couldn't actually get in. But we stood around the barrier, and we saw Nigel Mansell there, who came out and signed a few photographs and autographs and things, which we didn't get to do. But Frank Williams was there, and you know all of this. It was just absolutely amazing, and you know this was free. I mean, we just literally walked in, and we were seeing all these things, all these people. So the next year we said, well, we're doing that again. So we got there. And they locked it off, and they said, "Nope, if you want to come in, it's 30 quid," which at the time was, you know, like 100 quid now. You know. So, oh, okay, we're making money on this now, are we? Right? So you start to charge people to go in, and then if you wanted to go in and then go into the pits, you were charged more again to get into the pits. So you could either walk around the place or you could go into the pits and pay another 30, 40 quid or whatever. Yeah, okay, that spoiled it, but.
They had your picture. That's what it was.
Yeah,
they saw it. He got in for free last time, right? He's been paying that.
I mean, it was almost as though I was going to get a drive. You know, I mean, I stood there next to the car saying, "Look, I'll do it. You know, I'll get in and do that." That's phenomenal, amazing. I mean, it really did. That really was happy days then.
Wow. And then, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sports. When you think of summer, you've got Wimbledon. You've got all the big ones that come up that time of year. I've never really got into sports balls of any kind, you know, any kind of games. But there was one summer we went to Malta as a family. It was one of our big first overseas holiday that we did as a family. We were much, much older. My sister and I were, you know, we were just on the verge of going into university. And we went to Malta. And where our hotel was, just down on the bay, just, you know, stone's throw away from the hotel, we saw some people sort of gathering, and we didn't really know what was going on. We thought maybe there was like a festival or something going on, so we thought we'd go down there. And we sort of make our way through, and there's this guy selling Coke bottles out of the original kind of old 50s glass Coke bottles, and he's sort of filling them up himself and then sort of selling them on from his own little market stall. And there's this ring, this metal ring on a sandpit, a small pea-sized black ball in the center, And these guys are throwing solid cube wood blocks or cylinders, that sort of prism-like cylinders, all made out of these beautifully carved pieces of wood. And they're sort of throwing underhand, and they're trying to stand them up. You know, the bottle challenge that's mm-hmm. that was in like the social medias like a few months ago. They have to stand them upright if they're the long ones, or the blocks just right next to them. And they're to get them as close to these small black peas in the center. And the person who gets the closest wins. So it's a bit like French bull. And this is bocce, a slightly variant of it from Malta. And this is apparently something that happens every summer, and people just play it out on the beach as families, and just these families all gather together. And I never got into a sport over the summer before, but every single night was that tournament, and these families would come back every night and just do it for the whole week we were there. And they finished the day before we left, and we managed to see the family, and we were like shaking hands with them, and we'd been there every night, and we got to know them, and you know, we sort of really got to know them really well. And we watched this sport tournament just happen, just by a complete freak and accident. And it was just the best feeling to be sat there watching the sun go down as they're playing the game, drinking old 50s style bottles of Coke. And that's what we did every night. It was just, it's an experience I will never have again. I don't think ever will have again with a sport, because it was just an unexpected discovery and a wonderful memory on that one.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah, we did something similar a few years ago. I can't remember what it was now, but it was we went up to the Lake District, which is about an hour and a half north of where I live, around the Liverpool area. Beautiful area, lots of hills and valleys. Not so much mountains, but they are quite tall. I think Britain's largest mountain is there. And there's huge lakes, and you know, that's where they used to do the speed, the water speed record attempts down Coniston and Windermere. While we were in Windermere, we went to the we were driving around the bottom of Windermere, and we saw this sign that just sounded intriguing. So we followed this sign, and we come to the side of the lake, and it's the World Stone Skimming Championship. And it's like skimming stones, so throwing them at the water and getting them to bounce and, you know, hop across the water. And it's a distance challenge, so you have to see how far you can get these stones to skim. And it's alongside a pier, so there'd be people stood along, you know, officials adjudicating along the side there to see how far that it would go, with a rope that had knots in it every 12 inches or whatever it would be, so you could see how far it had gone. And these guys would walk out to the end of the pier, and then they'd, you know, and they'd have hand-picked stones. They'd all gone along the beach, and the side of the river, or the lake, and they hand-picked all of these stones, and they got bags and bags and bags of these stones, and they'd weigh them up and look at them and say, oh yeah, this is the one I need, this is the one I need. And then they'd launch it and skim these stones. And some of them, they were going like 200 feet. I mean, it's a ridiculous length of distance they were doing. So, but there was the world champion was there, and it's like the world champion a number of years running. And he was, I can't remember whether he was British or whether he was Scottish. I know there's a Scottish fellow there. But every time he threw it, as soon as he launched it, he went, oh, no, 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 no. And it was just like the guy from Vicar of Dibley. There's the character there called Jim, who's always going, Jim, do you want to do this? No, 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 no. Yes. So this was this guy was doing it, and he looked a bit like him as well. So he's throwing these stones. Oh, no, 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 no. It's just hilarious. And we were all like cheering him on, you know, trying to, you know, get him as soon as he started going, no, 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 no. It's like every bounce it took, you go, no, 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 no.
He was willing it on.
Yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, it was great to see. I didn't even, but it was the World Championships, and there's like probably about 100 people there, you know. It's like, it wasn't as though there were like huge galleries of people watching this thing, you know. it was world famous in Windermere, yeah. But there was a few people from abroad. I mean, they did have some, like, an Americans, I think, to come over, and they'd obviously tried to have a go and all this type of thing. But yeah, really good things you see when you don't plan it, you know, when you're not planning on doing that. If you plan to see it, you'd have missed it.
That's right.
Very little else to sort of. I was talking about the albums, the Californication and Blink-182. That was sort of the summer where I was hanging out with friends. One of them is Owen from our fight nights way back when. And that group of friends that we all had together, we would hang out in various places and listen to those albums on the portable CD player that they brought and all this sort of thing. But then it was the summer that I was also going to other people's houses, and we would have parties that week, and then next week we'd have another party at some other random person's house. And it all sort of culminated in the final week, where we went to this one guy's house who none of us really knew. That we sort of met him once, and one person had had a conversation with him. So we all kind of went to this massive house in the middle of nowhere. It was in the middle of the countryside, as far as we were concerned. No buses, no trains, no visible sort of taxis or anything like that back then. And we just found ourselves in this mansion, basically, where an open field in the back garden where people had brought their own tents, and they were planning to stay for a good number of days. The parents of this guy had gone, so he had the house, the free reign of the house. And it was the weirdest, surrealist party you can possibly imagine, because people just didn't know each other, but we just sort of just hung out. And people would go off into tents and smoke various things and do other things and all this kind of stuff. And it just the weirdest experience that I just couldn't see myself doing now, that I would just go to some random stranger's house and hang out for a weekend as a party. And I think there's so many decisions that I look back on now, thinking about the summer holidays, thinking, why did I do that? I was left in the middle of nowhere. And the Sunday trying to get home, there's no buses, there's no way home. I had to walk for hours to get to the nearest town. And when I figured out where I was, I had then another 3 hours of bus journeys and things to finally get home. And I can't even imagine doing something like that now. But we did. And we just sort of did it, because that's what you do in the summer. You just don't care anymore. It's carefree.
Innocence of youth.
And
yeah,
it's the best thing. Yeah. It's the best thing. And I don't know whether our sons would ever have that same experience or something that carefree ever again.
Hard to say.
No, I think you're right. I mean, it's, yeah, both my boys have not really done that sort of thing. You know, they've never, well, the only time they've been camping is with us, because we were just coming to the end of our camping sort of life, if you like. We just bought a big tent, and we took it up to the Lake District one year, and we went up there and camped for a bit. I'm not a big camping fan. It was okay when we were younger, but as you get older, you're trying to lie down on a flat bed on the floor, or a blow up thing that goes down overnight, or, you know, it's just ridiculous. So
we're getting bored for that,
exactly. Yeah, give me a nice hotel somewhere with a decent bed.
I need summer, but with aircon. That's the only I think that's the end, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a good run.
Big summer blowout. There we go. Right. Well, the grease in the box is cold. The sun cream is starting to feel a bit itchy, and the ice cream is definitely melted by now. And we have delivered this delicious slice of life. Tune in next time for us to deal with another very special topic, whatever that might be. I'm not entirely sure what it is.
I think we could sort of continue the childhood theme, if you like, and do cartoons of our childhood part one.
There we go.
Ooh. Go on a nostalgia trip for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So join us next time for another delicious slice of life on the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. Today, please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries, rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you would like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@hotmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind.
You got women. Yep. On your mind.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
Is that true?
Having women on your mind, that's absolutely
true. That's pretty standard, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Have a drink, have a drive. Go out and
see what you can find. The Cosmic Pizza Podcast does not condone drinking and driving.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.